HK Army is at it again with some top-notch creations that will be dropping soon, and this episode is brought to you by the new Alpha Air Tank from HK Army. These tanks are the lightest and most stylish tanks HK has ever created, and myself and Houston Heat were absolutely loving the feel and look of these Alpha Air Tanks in Las Vegas. Stay tuned to PTG and HK Army for the official launch date happening soon, and head over to hkarmy.com to secure yours when they drop. You are not going to believe how light the Alpha Air Tank is going to make your setup feel, and you can get it by going to hkarmy.com when they drop. This episode is brought to you by Lone Wolf Paintball. They are an amazing online supplier and have been around since the beginning of the game as Michigan's premier paintball field and paintball supplier since 1987. They are rapidly expanding into the online retail space and supplying everything you need to be the best paintball player you can be. They have got it all. Head over to lonewolfpaintball.com and shop all of your favorite brands. And they also boast amazing customer service and will have this out to you with same day shipping, which is amazing. It's always nice to know that your stuff is on its way immediately so you can start to use it that very next weekend of play. Check out their YouTube, Lone Wolf Paintball, and their Instagram at Lone Wolf PB, and stay up to date with all of their deals and sales. Play the Game podcast is immensely honored to have them on board, and we cannot wait for you guys to check out lonewolfpaintball.com and become a part of their community.
What's going on, PTG Nation? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This episode, we have Archie Montemayor, multiple-time MVP, one of the best to ever play the game, and somebody who is incredibly insightful. Every time we have Archie on the show, it's an absolute honor to be able to sit there and listen and really get a sneak peek inside what goes on in that mind and how he has been able to achieve greatness in all things he does. His takes are often quite different than the average individual. They are often very thought-provoking and push back on norms of what it takes to reach these heights. But from somebody that has absolutely reached them in many different facets of life, always incredibly valuable and just a great perspective on life itself. So without further ado, we're going to hop in the show.
That was an insane inside move by Marcelo Margot. Great communication.
And the crowd starts chanting Harmon.
Great shot by all the guys. So Tyler Harmon saved that. He came out with two wins. Marcelo Margot was on fire.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We've got an amazing episode with the one and only Archie Montemayor, and we're excited to have you back on the show, brother. You're alumni. You got the cap and gown, the PTG cap and gown. You're definitely PTG alumni, so we appreciate your time. How's it going, and where are you at right now?
It's going well. I'm at my home here in Austin. Probably a little bit different scenery than you guys have seen me in the past. We moved into a property of ours. And kind of getting situated over here over the last couple of months. So, a new familiar spot for me.
Yeah, but, no sauna. Yeah, dude, we got to get the sauna back up.
Sauna's in the, it's actually sauna's outside now. So,
okay.
We got the backyard little oasis sauna, hot tub and cold plunges coming. So
there we go.
Well, we've got a little more space now. So like having the sauna inside isn't quite a necessity when you're in the condo is the only place it could be. So,
yeah. So you got a little sanctuary out there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Had a nice little backyard barbecue, kind of the first one, some friends and family over the weekend. And looking forward to kind of spreading out here and getting comfy for a little while.
There we go.
Nice. Yeah, I'm in the middle of moving myself. I'll be moving later this week, and we're moving into a house with the lady. And I already have a cold plunge ready for pickup. Sick. day that we get
nice,
in.
Nice.
Sauna's like, you know, a little bigger expense, might wait a little bit, but that's mm-hmm. definitely coming. But I do have one at the gym down the street. So hit the sauna, come back to the cold plunge. I'm real excited for it. Just having the space, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I actually often say that my sauna was like probably the best purchase I've ever made. Because it's just an investment in yourself.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's meditation, obviously the, all the good things from being in there just too, but like, you know, for me, it's a blank space for me to just think and digest and, you know, I don't know, meditate even, but all while kind of doing your body well too.
Is Absolutely. It an infrared one that you have?
Yeah. Mine's infrared. Yeah. So it's, yeah. it doesn't, so like a normal sauna, like a heat, or I guess like an evaporative heater based sauna. Those can get up to 200. Like an infrared sauna will really only get, you know, around 150. So quite a bit less on the heat, but the technology and the lighting in there penetrates your skin even deeper than just like a sweat sauna, essentially. So yeah, there's some tech in there there's near, far, and I think it's just near and far, actually. So it's a full spectrum infrared lights that penetrate into your skin, and they kind of get the toxins out that way. And obviously you still sweat because it's hot, but it's just not like baking hot like a traditional steam sauna.
And March, isn't it like, what is it, 50 minutes or 60 minutes a week? Accumulative of going into the sauna does something for like your heat shock proteins or something like that?
52 minutes a week is like the threshold of where you really start to reap a ton of the benefits, but you'll start to release heat shock proteins in a sauna that's at 180 after like 15 minutes, you know, and it just is heating your core body temperature. I am not sure. I think it does something similar with infrared, but I do know that the like long-term data and research isn't there just because they're kind of new as far as, you know, decrease in all-cause mortality and that kind of those kind of benefits from sauna use. So that's why I've always been a little hesitant of the infrared, but I know a lot of people that use them and love them. I know you've loved yours for a long time.
Right, for sure. The guy that when I was first looking into it, I was chatting with this guy and he's like super type A, like has a spreadsheet for everything and like does all infinite amount of research for any little decision he makes. He kind of put me on the one that we got. So I'm, even though I didn't maybe necessarily do all my own research on it, I trusted his spreadsheet that was pretty thorough.
He did the work. Nice.
Yeah, he did the work. He was helpful. And a good friend too. He's got amazing spreadsheets for like all kinds of silly things, but they can come in handy sometimes.
Oh man. Yeah. Definitely need spreadsheets if you're going to make some calculated moves and decisions out there. The big ones.
Yeah. How's PTG land?
PTG land is popping. It's been good.
I caught a couple of the most recent episodes, man. They've been really good. Really like the J-Rab one. Really like Bianca's a couple, I guess, when I listened to it. Honestly, I really like J-Rab's. I thought he was really honest and you can tell he's really like kind of back into it, which is nice to see. I thought he played really great in Vegas. Obviously, if you watch any of the games, you saw him playing well. That was a good one. I had been a while for me to listen prior to that one, but you know, coming after Vegas, obviously we had a good performance and it just kind of, you know, I had a feeling his would be really good and it was.
Yeah. And he was also talking about how Russian Legion is trying to create a new meta type of pace to the game, speeding up the pace and playing more points, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I feel like if you followed them over the last like 5 years, that's definitely been how they've been trying to do things, you know, and it is interesting, especially because they don't have that many guys, you know, they kind of do run a low roster. So, you know, definitely interesting strategy, but they definitely play that way. That's for sure. And it makes for really entertaining games, you know, like when I think of like, over the last like 5 or 6 years, like some of my most memorable matches have been against those guys, you know, whether it was on a dynasty for the last few years or X Factor prior or the Kings.
Yeah. Or the Kings.
Yeah. Right. Cause I mean, honestly that I would argue that year 2019 kind of was like, they were just really formidable. That year and since then really. So yeah, they've been probably my more fun, more, exciting team to play against over the last several seasons.
Yeah, I totally agree. That brand, I feel like, has always been part of their identity. They've always looked for, you know, aggressive players. I know when I played with them in 2012, I'm not kidding, I've told this story on the show before, but they had a timer and kept track of how long you stayed at each bunker. You know, and I remember having multiple, this one point in specific, I go down the field and I shot like four people on the Dorito side. We win the point. I'm not exaggerating. I had a great point. In my opinion, it was a stellar point. You know, went down the field, shot multiple people, won the point, you know, was like the lead attacker on that side. And the coach pulled me over and was upset because he was like, we were only supposed to be at this spot for 15 seconds, that spot at 15 seconds. And you were at 17 seconds here and then 25 seconds here. And to me, I just fully disagreed with it. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you want me to force it and get shot? That doesn't make sense. You know, it worked And it worked. I mean, I didn't respond that way because I was, again, first year on the team, but that's how I felt. You know, I was like, man, it's kind of wild, but they have a very rigid philosophy on how quickly you should be playing.
Right. Was that a practice or a tournament?
It was a practice.
Like, yeah. Right. So practice. It's, you know, it's interesting because also like I played for a Russian team in one of the millennium. It must've been 2018. Cause I believe it was before we played with the Kings. And I played semi-pro, and it was one of the old Russian coaches, Max. And he very similarly gave me some kind of like, all right, this point is 60 seconds long and you need to be over here in 20 seconds, you know? And you know, like at the 50 or beyond it. Yeah. And so it was just funny because like we ended up winning that tournament. And like in, at this point in specific, I'll like never really forget it. We're beating this team and it was in the prelims. We'd won all of our games so far. And he gave me this like real strict set of things and we're up like 4-0 or whatever. And I think it was Mercy at 5. So we're just beating the crap out of this team, but still he wanted me to do things in a very specific and super aggressive way. And even though like we won that next point in like, you know, a barely over a minute, he was like, hey, I told you this much time. And you know, yeah. It's funny. Cause I was like, oh, I mean, okay, cool.
Yeah. Max was my coach.
Right.
He was on my coach at that time.
And so, but when you think about it, especially if it like at a practice and I guess that match, would argue it is a practice because we're beating them down and we hadn't lost any games, but it's interesting, like kind of problem solving mindset where he's selling you, you need to only be here for 10 seconds. Well, even if everybody's on you, you're trying to find a way to solve that problem, you know, and mm-hmm. not to say that you need to do that at all times, but if you can solve that problem, then potentially you might find more creative ways to do things if you need to in certain circumstances, right? I agree with you. And it, like, it's interesting to practice very rigid like that. But you know, I think the whole thing is important to not be so rigid, right? But to be able to do all of the things, you know, mm-hmm. at a very elite level, and that rounds out every possible thing you could possibly do, you know. And sometimes you need to have all those little tricks in the bag.
Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I love the way the Russians approach the game. I love the way they play the game. They definitely are very unique. They can be very aggressive. They'll play bunkers on the field that nobody even thinks about playing consistently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're one of those teams that it's so hard to scout them because you just don't know. You really don't know what they're going to do. And they always play so unique and uniquely different than almost every other team you play, you know. And I know like for us, we played them twice in Vegas and both games, they played us quite differently. And also both games, they gave me problems that I hadn't seen yet from any other team at practice or the tournament, you know? So it's just really interesting to have to go up against stuff you haven't seen and be able to creatively find solutions. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, that's probably why I like playing those guys so much.
No, I agree. And they do a weird thing where they'll play spots that are objectively not very good and they mm-hmm. find ways to make them good and put pressure on you in ways that you're like, where, for example, in Vegas, Kirill going to that pin, mm-hmm. like completely trapped me in the back center. I was like, where is this paint coming from? I have no idea where this paint's coming from the first point, you know? And then like, it wasn't until a few points later, I'm like, oh, he's going to the pin and like shooting inside, trapping our two guys in the back center. What a weird thing, but so effective, you know?
And it's like... Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think you're hitting on that point where it's like, if we can find ways to make every position a potential spot, then we can pull those out at any moment and maybe catch mm-hmm. a team, you know? And again, especially when teams are kind of playing a certain way and that's the thing, but you go against those guys and they can really do a lot of more interesting things that you just haven't seen yet. And again, yeah, like you said, like you look at that pin and you're thinking, man, that's not the spot anybody wants to go to. And you just don't expect it, you know, and that's the whole right. point about, you know, you let your guard down and they could potentially take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Archie, what were some of like the problems that you were saying that they particularly gave you on that field layout when you played against them?
Yeah, I thought that they did a good. So for me, and it's I think you guys have talked about this a lot, but with a double sided
kind
of switch. You know, for me, I was playing what we called our snake side and there I'm going up head to head against their Dorito side. What they were doing specifically, Sergei was doing a really good job of matching and getting up the field with Karsiev. And what that was doing was and also Sergei's really tall. So he mm-hmm. would get closer to his front guy and be really high in the second Dorito right there behind like, I guess it's the second big Dorito, but that spot specifically when played high could really dump down on me in the snake. And he clipped me a couple of times where, you know, I'm like basically kind of laid out almost completely, but he's tall and high in an angle and also in a position that I hadn't really seen before being doubled up like really close to his front guy, whereas typically it was always a guy a little bit further back, didn't have quite that same angle to really rain paint down. So he just did a really good job of doing that and kind of keeping me way more honest than some of the other teams that we played. I mean, I don't recall another team doing it like that. And he just really made sure to stay gun dominant high in the bunker, not low, which really did make it pretty treacherous for me to just try to crawl around.
And he's one of the only players in the league that can even do that too, because he's so dang tall.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's like, again, just a unique set of unique situation that only played out for them. And he caught me a couple of times, and that may or may not have cost us a match, you know, potentially could have cost us points and definitely could have cost us a match, you know, and those are just mistakes that I was forced to make for the first time against them, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's like, really, that's what about creating an advantage for your team.
Yeah. Yeah. The flow of the Vegas layout was a lot of fun. The snake side was obviously a little bit quicker than the Dorito side, but there were times that we saw like the Hurricanes where they would charge it down the Doritos, you know?
Yeah. I think in general, the layout was a lot of fun. I thought it was really interesting. You know, me personally, I'm not a fan of the switched thing, but I do think that that layout played pretty fun. I think it did play. I mean, it's interesting because a lot of games there were plenty of games that were low scoring, you know, and there weren't like a lot of high scoring games. So like, I could see why you could say it was kind of boring, you know, but like, I don't know. I guess when you get deep into a tournament, like those little details that separate the winners and the losers always end up just being so important. And it's just like kind of like a mind melt of, you know, who's going to make one stupid mistake and who's going to pull something off that maybe they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's funny how like almost all the tournaments kind of end up playing out that way, whether you like the layout or not, you know? But I did think the layout did play fun and it played interesting, and there were definitely some interesting moves and whatnot. And obviously like the last game, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's interesting. It's really, really crazy to be involved with so many like kind of crazy finals games over the last few years. And obviously this one definitely was quite interesting, going down 0-3 and finding a way to come back and win. And then, you know, in overtime. So, but yeah, I mean, I am curious to see what they're going to throw at us for the next one. I'm hoping it's something a little more, I don't know, regular, I guess, but, you know, we'll see. I was thinking that Jason was doing that because we didn't do so hot on the Dallas event where it was like that, you know? So I was like, well, okay, Dynasty's winning a lot of events and they didn't have their success on this one. So maybe they won't give us the layout for the next one. It'll be blind layout and they'll try their go at that. But I am curious nonetheless, see how it plays out.
It's going to be two snakes straight down the middle of the field and then Doritos all on the edges.
Dude, I want that so badly. That'd be tight.
Honestly, Doritos are fun to play, man. I haven't gotten to play them on this team really. Well, I mean, I guess sort of did, but at this last event, just barely. But
yeah.
But you know, there was a time there on X Factor where I got to play the roll the Doritos like quite a bit as a big puncher. And those are fun times.
Oh yeah. Yes, sir.
100%. Archie, I want to talk to you a little bit about how you approach the game and how you kind of, you know, I feel like you unlocked something, especially in the prelims at this last event. And obviously I was in practices with you. I was, you know, we were up north together. We had 4 days on the layout. Then I was Thursday, and all of a sudden come tournament time, you kind of flipped a switch and did things that I hadn't even seen you practice yet. And were all over the place, finding holes and making things happen. What led to that? What type of preparation was that? You know,
Man, you know, that's really interesting because that's like a very specific question. And I don't necessarily know that I have a very specific answer. You know, like I look at the way I prep for tournaments. Every tournament is very similar. You know, like I'm really trying to be open-minded and like really just opening. And I mean this when I say this, like open-minded so much that I'm just like have an open connection to some higher power above me. Right. And it might sound silly, but that's legitimately how I think about it. And, you know, I would say that at the practice, we had in Sacramento, we could have played better. I thought for the most part, everybody played well. But I think as a team and as individuals, we could have played better, you know, and certainly it was a little bit wet and a little bit cold, and there could have been some better circumstances for the practice for sure. But we got the looks we needed to see. And I was very confident about that, you know. And as far as like the way things played out at the tournament, where there was, you know, maybe a little more things happening for me, you know, honestly, I just felt like those opportunities were there for me, and I saw them at the event. And the reasons why they may or may not have been there at the practice, or maybe at the practice I didn't see them, you know, and that's circumstantial, you know. I think that at the tournament, there were certain things that happened where I was in the position and I was had this connection, this field open for me to just understand and see things that are there for me, right? And the biggest thing about when you have those types of understandings or those types of visions where you can feel or understand or see things that are open for you, you have to take them, you know? And the more times you take those things and the more times they work out in your favor, well, guess what? You're trusting that connection more and more and more. And so you're building a much stronger relationship with that connection. So that's the way I see it. And honestly, I would say that if those things were there for me at the practice, I would have done the same things. They just weren't there for me at the practices, you know, and that's circumstantial, you know, and that's being as honest with myself about that is important as well, because like I'm telling you right now, I'm the same player I was the week after that practice and I was the week before. And I would say, other than like having tournament paint that's just super dialed and it's going to break and leave a mark and there's reffing involved, there's not much of a difference besides what I'm trying to do in that practice versus what I'm trying to do that tournament. But sometimes good tournament paint and all those things are the little difference maker, you know?
My only pushback on that would be that you're obviously a very cerebral player, very intelligent player. And, you know, so the question is leading into like, maybe you had seen something or learned something throughout those days in practice. And so maybe they were there, maybe they weren't, but right. I know for me, I continuously go back each night after we play and I think about the different situations and I go, I miss this opportunity. I miss that opportunity. If I see that again, dropping the hammer, you know, or if this situation presents itself, this is possible, you know, and so.
And I totally agree with that. And that's generally what I do every day. And after every point, you know, like every practice point, if I, you know, miss something or, you know, at the same time, like we're playing two lines of practice and I'm watching the other line, if I see something that's not happening or seems an opportunity that's missed, I make sure to talk about it, you know, because it's the same situation. Like I might be in that situation at some point or another, you know, and like some of those points, like at the practice, I never ended up going to our Dorito side really much at all. But at the tournament, it kind of ended up being one of those points where we lost the wrong guy and we were set up on my side. So it was my opportunity to go over there. And again, because I watched those points and I pay attention, I break them down that way, I knew what to do in those moments, you know? So it's just a matter of, like you said, like thinking about all those circumstances, being aware of them. And, you know, I think of this next step for me personally, not anybody else in particular, but for me personally, is just opening that field and being aware. And at that point, if they come, they align for me, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm connected enough so that I can make those right plays in those right times, you know, and that's kind of the way I look at it. But a lot of the things like what you describe, I mean, to me, those are like automatic things, you know, and sure. So it's even hard for me to talk about them a lot because it's just like so ingrained, just like,
yeah, like obviously
there's so many million things that we do just as like a habitual practice that, you know, if I like pointed it out to you, you'd be like, oh yeah. And then you'd explain it for like 10 minutes. But for you, you don't even think to explain it because it's so natural. You know, it's like as natural as breathing for you, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, again, it takes a lot of work and effort and thought to get to that point even, you know, before, you know, and again, like.
That's what I wanted to hit on, because that's exactly right. It takes a lot of thought effort. Like you really have to allocate a good amount of time to just thinking about all of these different situations. It doesn't just land in your head. Right. Like there's hours and hours of thought preparation that go into knowing how to make that transition or when to cut that route and go bunker out two people. You know, it's preparation.
Yeah, one of the things that I notice, or I, especially when I'm watching people play, which I you know, if you want to be like, I mean, you know, honestly, this is a question I would recommend for any paintball player, actually any person, any human being to ask themselves. And it's just like, where do I want to be? You know, like, and that can be for, you can ask that yourself, that question for any facet in your life. Like, where do I want to be physically? Where do I want to be mentally? Where do I want to be in my hobbies? Where do I want to be in my job? Right. Like, where do I want to be? How serious do I want to be about any of these things? Right. And, you know, like in paintball is where I'm going to make this relation, but like, how, if you want to be the best, do you want to be like the best of the best? Do you want to be the best of all time? Like, how you answer that question is likely how you're going to think and work, mm-hmm. you know, towards that. So if you want to be the fucking one of the best ever, it takes that level of thought, that level of preparation, that level of intent, you know, and for those that just want to play pro or want to do it as a weekend hobby, which don't, there's a million things to take away from paintball, and you don't have to be a professional player to take those things away, man. That's why this yeah. sport is super awesome and magnetic, you know. But again, if you want to do certain things, like there are tolls you just got to pay, you know. And for me, like I want to be one of the best. And so you got to pay the toll, you know. It's mm-hmm. not just given to you. You got to do all those things. And so, like, in this situation, when I play paintball, I've thought about every circumstance over and over and over and over and over and over and over again before I got onto the field, you know? And so when I can relate, like, how I would watch myself play paintball versus how I'd watch a divisional paintball player play, you watch a divisional paintball player and they're playing paintball right now. They're playing right now and making decisions right now. I've made decisions for 20 years. And I'm out there and I'm like, this decision has been made. I've made this decision a million times before. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's that level of certainty that can separate you. But again, it doesn't happen on the field when you've got a guy shooting at you. It happens way, way, way before that, you know, like mm-hmm. at the moment of conception, almost when you first started playing paintball, you know, like that's the level of difference from the first time you have a thought to where, oh, that's how ingrained it is. And that's what makes you elite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to clock in. You got to do the work.
I mean, yeah, right. Exactly right, dude. I mean, what masters haven't, you know?
Yeah. You got to clock in. Love yeah, that.
I really love the conversation about thinking about the game more than you're playing the game, because you can only play the game, especially paintball's unique. I mean, the reality is we can only play 2 to 3 days a week, maybe. No, I could count on one hand the amount of people that I know that can go and play paintball every single day, right? We just don't have the infrastructure for it. You know, it's, they just don't know that many people. But you can think about the game all the time. You can watch right. film and learn and realize and understand situations and recognize, all right, this formation didn't work, you know, and this player likes to do this, that player likes right. to do that. You can get these reps by watching others. You get these reps by making them up in your mind. And the more experience you get, yeah. the more situations you can make up. And the more situations you can make up, the more that you're prepared for on the field, you know, like it's,
you're filling up that bank, you know, the bankroll just of ideas and thoughts and decisions. And again, if they're already in here, then when you're playing and you're getting shot at by multiple guys and everything's happening around you and people are yelling at you, giving you codes, whatever, it's just less for you to have to compute in those critical moments, you know? And again, totally. Like, when you're calm in those critical moments, you're able to even make those better decisions.
You know, it's interesting. Sorry, Arch, were you done?
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I mean, like middle school, and I had, you know, just started playing. I was like probably 12 years old. So I've been playing for about 3 years, but I just started playing like airball type stuff. Right. And so I would be in school and I would take a piece of paper and I would make up a field and I would just draw, you know, mirrored fields on each side. Right. And I would just put random bunkers in spots, you know, but it was the same on each side. And then what I would do, and it's so funny, I just recognized really what I was doing. Cause I always told this story as I was like playing imaginary paintball on the paper, but I wasn't, I was actually, I would take the field that I drew and then I would try to set a play that seemed like it had all the zones covered, right? I would take five guys and I'd put them in places and have them look a certain direction. And then I'd be like, oh, there's a hole right here. So let's put someone here and look that way. And that might, that's probably not how you should play today. You know, maybe there's a different style of how you would game plan, but you know, 20 years ago, I'm looking at a, you know, random sheets of different bunkers that I made up and I'm trying to just understand zones and understand like, well, if I put all these lines to the right, someone's going to come flank us on the left, you know, so got to make sure someone's covering that, you know, and that was something I did like literally every day in school.
Right. I mean, but again, you're developing your, you know, your thoughts on a given subject. And again, like you got to start somewhere. And honestly, I don't even think that's, those are silly, you know, like willing to bet that that's beyond, I mean, that's exactly why you're where you are, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, like I had my silly little things that I did or played in order to give myself, you know, mental reps, you know, and honestly, like one of these, which I think is really cool is this paintball game that's coming out, you know, cause I don't talk about this much anymore cause I don't play video games, but like when I was a kid and when I definitely got into paintball, dude, digital paintball completely changed the way I play paintball. Cause again, it was another form of playing, but you know, points on digital paintball would last 45 seconds, a minute, you know, and you play for hours. You know, so like, you know, we go to SAC paintball and we play Saturday and Sunday. We're playing like 30 points a day ish. And we got two lines. So maybe I'm playing 35 to 40 points on a 3-day weekend. Maybe, you know, and DPB, dude, I could play hundreds of points in an afternoon easily, you know, and it's just one of those things. You could be thinking about this game for an infinite amount of time, you know, and one of the another things that I like, and also I like traveling to the team, you know, because I live here in Texas and you flying out to California a lot, is I get a lot of time to think about just me alone. I'm traveling alone. I get a lot of time to digest and to think about the field, the team, any which way I can show up, you know, all those things. And honestly, that was one of my funny things that I used to like really doing when I played locally here, was for me to get to X Factor, it's about an hour drive, right? And Ryan's in Austin, and we had a couple of guys in Austin too. We could carpool, but I actually selfishly like to not carpool. I like to drive alone, because when you're alone, you get to just have your own thoughts and dissect things the way you wish to. And there's no back and forth and you don't get caught on any tangents. You can just be real diligent with your thoughts. And, you know, selfishly, I really like that small, those little windows of alone time are important for, they're important for me, you know, whether they're important for everybody else, you know, by all means. But for me personally, I like them a lot.
I agree. Yeah. Like on the flights, you know, going back home, really deep dive mental reps on what's going on. Also, like I would travel from my 20s to my 30s. I did inspections on houses for like a decade almost. And in between all this travel, I'm listening to, you know, different things that are going to heighten my mindset, or, you know, thinking about, like you said, different paintball algorithms that we can break through so that you can like transcend and be better players, better teammates. There's a lot of value in that downtime, that alone time.
Tyler was listening to Play the Game podcast before Play the Game podcast was a thing back then.
Yep. We were cooking it up. We were cooking it.
I love it.
Yep.
Archie, it's funny you mentioned that about the driving thing, because I promise you I'm the exact same. And it's such a selfish thing, because obviously when we have practice in San Diego, some of the guys have to stay at my place sometimes. Right. And I love having the teammates spend the night. I love hanging out, but that drive on the way to the field has always been, you know, in the past, nobody stayed at my house. It wasn't like that, you know, until the last maybe 5 years on Dynasty. So I always had that like alone time that I really cherished, where you're like preparing yourself for the day. You know, you kind of wake up, you have your routine, whatever it is, you get your coffee or your water, or your juice, or, you know, you get your car loaded up and then you're in the car and you're just thinking about how you're going to approach the day. That time is like so, so valuable for me. And I've noticed it. And on this team, I'm like, well, it's super selfish, so I have to find a way to overcome it, you know, and find like other ways, you know, but it's interesting. Like that's, you know, again, I think it places a lot of importance on thought and, you know, how you talk to yourself and how you approach things, you know, mentally. And I don't think enough people really understand that. They're just really caught in the external things that are happening to them, and they don't spend enough time inward.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I feel is very true. And in general, I don't think about that just in the paintball space. I think of that in the global space, you know, like, yeah, you know, I don't know. These things are very important to me. And I see a massive, huge benefit from, you know, these kind of mindfulness practices, you know, for lack of a better phrase. Yeah, I'm not really sure where I'd be without them. You know, I've been doing things in line with this kind of a modality for, you know, 15, almost 20 years now, you know? And so it's just, I just know the benefit that I've seen personally. And that's why I continue to pursue them and continue to try to find new, and, you know, maybe interesting ways of doing the same things.
Who sets you on the path of doing these practices and starting to be more mindful and taking real, you know, importance in that?
You know, to be honest, I started when I was like probably around 19 or 20 years old, like very young. And I don't know that it was pointed in my direction by, I can't attribute that it was pointed towards me from somebody that I like looked up to or a mentor or anything like that. To me, I feel like I had, you know, I feel like I was called to it on my own and the ideas resonated with me, right? Through like reading about philosophy or, you know, and obviously like that's its own little world and you can deep dive down that and find things that are quite meaningful and potent for you. And then again, like any one of these practices or any mindfulness practice, you can kind of get something and really see benefit. And then again, especially when you're younger, like you're like, holy crap, you know, I may or may not have known anything about this. And now that I do, it's completely changed my life. And what that does is open your mind to the idea that there might be a lot of other practices that when practiced might completely just blow the lid off it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, because of those things, I would say they open my mind or help expand my thoughts into broadening into other practices. And now, you know, I feel like my practices are very broad and, you know, seen some shit and learned some shit and had some really interesting ideas and thoughts. And, I'm just kind of here for the rest of those things, whatever's calling my name. You know, I feel like I get pulled to these things and I'm going to investigate and suss them out.
You got to stay diversified. You know what I mean?
Big time. Well, I mean, again, like, you just stay in one niche, you know, that's going to be where you're at. But if you can broaden and really just fully well, like develop everything, if you can, you know, I mean, to some degree. And again, sometimes you just go and you check things out and you're like, oh, you know what? Like, okay, I can see the benefit here. You know, I'm feeling a little more called to do some other things. That's cool too. But, you know, having a broad awareness of a lot of different practices in general, I think is going to kind of round you out and show you some things and potentially translate into other parts of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you said about just staying open to the possibilities, the endless possibilities, because that's really how it works.
Yeah. I mean, dude, the one thing about being open-minded and it's funny because this is like, you're talking about ego work too, when you're learning things and understanding things. And as I've gotten older and more well-rounded and, more diversified and more experienced, really what I've come to realize is how little I actually know, you know? And when you realize that, it's quite inspiring, you know? There's so much out there that I don't know. And it's funny because when we're, you know, adolescent, you know, you have this ego and you're really trying to be, you know, really good at whatever you're trying to do. And you think it really means a lot about who you are, but you know, really the ego work is super important for you to get level up so much more, you know, and the best way to level up is to realize you don't know shit.
Straight up.
That's going to keep you zestful to understand and learn things in a much bigger capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's much more efficient for your development process to kill your ego. You know, it will get in the way of so much growth. It'll close so many doors that you didn't even know you were closing because you got like subliminally, you got in your own way and you didn't even know it, you know? That's how it works.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And again, like, these are just really good lessons, you know, in general. Mm-hmm. Ego work is one of the things that's really important. You know, just like a lot of these different things we've all been doing for a while now, you know, But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how we ended up on this one, this little corner of this topic.
It's a tangent.
I think it's an important one though. And I think it everybody has to discover that process on their own, because there's something interesting when you're young, or you might not even be young. You just might be like on your first real quest to be great at something and, or learn something or become an expert, quote unquote, in an area. And during that process, you know, you go through, you might be reading, you might be learning from somebody you think is the best in that field. You might be gathering knowledge that you have no reason to believe is not true, right? So you're gathering this information, you're gathering this knowledge, you're getting to a point in whatever it is that you are pursuing to where you're like, wow, I really understand this well. I know these facts. I learned these things. So there's no way that there's another side. I already did the work. Until you have, you need more than one, because it could happen once and it's not enough. Until you have this mind-blowing moment where you go, whoa, that wasn't true. That wasn't true, or it doesn't actually apply all the time. And it's this big, like, butunk kind of moment where you're like, whoa, okay, I was so certain about that thing. I was so certain because I did the work. I didn't cut corners. I got the information that is like certified, you know? It's certified. It's got a stamp on it. And I ended up being wrong in the long run, or I didn't apply it correctly, right? You have enough instances like that happen and you start to realize, I don't know as much as I think I do, no matter how well prepared I am, no matter how, I mean, it's the most recent paintball experience I can relate this to is shooting people off the break. The last like 2 or 3 years, there have been times where the layout gets dropped, I get to the field and I'm like, I'm certain this guy's, and sometimes it'll still happen, but it's evolved. It's evolved. There were so many more times where I'm like, I know this guy is going to be shootable. And like, that's the bottom line. This guy is going to be shootable, period. We have to get good at this. And then you get to the event and for whatever reason, I don't care what the excuse is, the guy's not shootable.
He's not getting shot.
He's not getting shot. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, what the fuck? I was certain of this, you know, and like, that's my thing. And I was certain of this. So I've absolutely, now I kind of always will hedge it in practice. I'm like, pretty sure that this guy should be shot every time, you know, pretty sure, but we'll find out, you know? And like, obviously, you know, you got to wait till you get to the event, you know, there might be a hill in the middle of the field that puts a bunker too high. And now all of a sudden, like it was so shootable at practice. And now in Vegas, you couldn't shoot that spot, the most shootable spot on the field, right. You know? So I don't think you can just get to that point. I think you truly have to experience being hard-nosed and 100% all in on your beliefs and then having them kind of shattered in front of you. And that's where you have to stand up and be and recognize it and be like, okay, this doesn't mean I'm less of a person. It means I need to be more open-minded. I need to, you know, not be married to my thoughts, but married to finding the right solution. Right. And if you're married to finding the right solution rather than your ideas, then, you know, you're open to being wrong. You're cool with being wrong because ultimately the goal is to understand something better.
It's to prevail. Exactly. Yeah, right. Absolutely. It's to keep moving forward. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, you got to go through those and I'm, you know, all three of us, I think we're all pretty hard nosed and stubborn at some point, probably still have a little bit of that in there. That's what makes us competitors. But,
right.
You know, I've seen the growth out of all three of us, you know, over the years, and myself, probably more than anyone, because I was probably the worst.
You get firsthand. Well, you got the firsthand, you know, view on it too. I mean, that's how I feel about my growth personally. Is, you know, I know who I've been, and I know who I am, and I know who I'm trying to be. You know, so yeah. You know, it's interesting. So, but again, these are very important lessons, important things to be experiencing, and important things to be aware of, and you know, I am very grateful to be where I'm at, you know, in this present moment and all the previous moments, to be able to think about these things and for whatever reason, be aligned with these types of thoughts that continually evolve me, continually evolve the people I'm around, you know, the team I'm around and all those things.
Yeah, man, you got to be solution oriented. That's for sure. That's the only way that a organization is going to be successful, or your relationships, or, you know, like you got to be, have an open mind and open heart and kill the ego and be willing to, you know, just do whatever it takes for the better good of our community, of our people, of our group, or whatever it is that we're trying to move in one direction. And it's something that some people never figure out. And it's a very difficult task, and you have to kind of get out of your own way. But once you do, that's when the magic happens.
Yeah, completely agree.
All right, Arch, talk to us about projects. What's going on? What have you guys been cooking up? What are you working on? What are you guys doing?
You know, honestly, lately we've been pretty hard. Well, we've got, we've had a really successful like last year. We did essentially three big eclipse drops since September, I think, or might have been August.
Yeah.
And that's, we did 200 LVs, and then we've done two sets of 200 CS3s that are custom milled ones. Obviously, we're basically about like three or four guns shy of fulfilling all of that at the present moment. It's been quite a ride, honestly, but busy. You know, it's kept us very busy. Just dealing with fulfillments and obviously like timelines from Eclipse, and then, you know, us getting everything out. Meanwhile, we're doing other things too. It's not just that. So like we had a big booth at Cup, which took a lot of man hours and a lot of time and thought and effort. And lately we've been kind of getting through the second batch of those CS3s that went pretty smooth and really nice. And right now we're working on trying to get a couple new projects like milled markers out, hopefully by the end of the year. And then, you know, a pretty solid amount of other like soft goods and other unique gear. We've got a woven strap drop coming out on Thursday. So in a couple of, or well, I guess in a couple of days from now, which at this point, I'm not sure when this is airing, but, yeah. And then, yeah, we've got some nice stuff in the books. Nothing crazy. You know, more standard stuff that we've been doing, just trying to kind of keep pumping out cool stuff. And then the anodizing has been the biggest one lately. We've been putting a ton of hours in the shop. You know, me and Ryan, that's kind of our baby at the moment. We're getting ready to launch our website and already kind of starting to work on some of the team, the Dynasty edition, some of the guns for the players. So that's been fun. But yeah, I'm looking forward to launching the website, like fully completely being open for business and figuring out all the kind of like problem solving it's going to take when we're actually open. We've definitely been doing a bunch of customer guns for the last several months and stuff. But, you know, once you're actually open and you get like a solid amount of influx, that's when you kind of start really seeing how the processes are, how good your processes are and what you need to tinker around with and whatnot. But I think we're both really looking forward to it.
So before we dive into the anodizing, you kind of breezed over the tremendous amount of work that you've put into project and how many different things that you accomplished, which is no easy feat. I mean, you're talking about a lot of markers that you had made and having to fulfill all that and then having a booth at World Cup. I mean, is this something that your brain is just always cooking, right? You're always thinking about the next.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny you say that because like that's, I am self-employed, 100% self-employed. Like nobody pays me. I pay myself. Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah. And the thing about that is though, is like, you know, and granted, I understand that I walk around and I do embody this like very free, kind of loose with my schedule and like, I do the things that when I want to do them, because that's just how I set up the way I do things, you know, and that's a result of being self-employed. But at the same time, like I'll be trying to make a birdie putt and a thought will pop into my head or I'll, you know, get a notification on my phone. I'm like, oh, I got to do this immediately. Or like, I've got this thought that I need to address right now, you know? And so that's the thing. Like I kind of am on all the time. And sometimes I'm on in my sleep, you know, like sometimes I'll dream about an idea or a thought or something that like, I wake up because I like had a nightmare of something bad going, you know, going on in our business. And so it's just, it is funny, but yeah, it really does not afford me any like absolute down zero time, you know, and even when I'm like supposed to be on downtime, like my work does creep into it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know about this birdie putt, bro. The one time I FaceTime you on your birthday, Hannah answers and Archie's looking for his ball like a mile in the woods.
Yeah. So,
and then he pulls it out. He's like chipping for birdie.
Dude, it was actually, yeah. So that was a very funny timing, but I'm glad you were there for it. You know, not, hey, again, golf isn't just, it's about, you know, finding ways to scramble, you know?
Yeah.
And on that particular hole, I hit a pretty crappy tee shot to the right. And, I was actually not quite in the trees, but it was in like a little bit of a dry, we've been in a little bit of a dry spout here in Central Texas. So it was a previous lake that had afforded me a couple of extra feet of frontage.
There you go.
And anyways, I ended up hitting it to about like 12 feet or so, but missed the birdie putt, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, I missed the
birdie putt because Marcelo was distracting me.
Yeah. You watch. Sure. Even
I called and RG's rummaging through. I'm like, whoa, I've never seen that on Instagram. Usually it's a clean strike right down the middle.
Dude, I mean, it's a highlight reel. We all know this.
That's true. That's
golf true. Is so difficult. And even the best pro players in the world, they hit it in the bunker. They hit it into rough. They hit it all over the place. Yeah. So you got to be.
That video the other day of like someone's recording and I forget who is on the tee, but it was a professional event. He just smokes it right into the guy that's recording, like smokes him right in the head.
Oh, that was Homa. Yeah. That's like one of my favorite golfers. He's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it could happen to anybody.
Right.
Golf is hard. It's hard.
Dude. Period. Paintball's hard. You know, golf's harder though.
Yeah.
Golf's harder.
For you, I wonder though, like, you know, I wonder what's harder.
Yeah.
You know, starting from scratch, what's harder? Paintball is not easy.
Paintball's not easy, but I think the thing about golf, it's there's the thought process, which is one beast, but then just the
actualizing
the room for error when hitting a golf ball, you know, it's just like very small, yeah. You know, and even just to even understand the swing is very hard for a lot. I mean, that's why most people are not good at golf, because they don't understand the swing at all.
I can make the same argument for paintball, the room for error and hitting your shot and missing your shot and like body mechanics of like turning your hip into, you know, like, I don't know. I can make a lot of the same arguments. Well, it's just so natural to us.
Here's what I would say. And I don't disagree with you, but what I would say is like, honestly, if like one of the best professional golfers, like one of the best, decided to do something else at an early age, right? They would probably be one of the best at whatever that is, outside of like a physical limitation. Yeah. Like, you know, if Scottie Scheffler's trying to be a linebacker in the NFL, like that's not going to work. But if he wanted to be like, maybe not a skilled position where you just need to be an absolute athlete, but
because
that's the one thing that doesn't quite translate when you're talking about a physical sport where you need to be just a specimen. Right. Mm-hmm. But I would argue that those guys are so intelligent that they could legitimately, if they had put in the work, they could probably do most things at a very elite level. And I'm not saying that we couldn't as paintball players.
Yeah, I think we could though.
Right. And I agree, because that's why one of the things that I've heard it throughout my time of being an adult is just like, oh, he's just naturally good at everything. Right. And I'm like, well, not really. Like, this is all learned stuff, you know, and I just happen to learn them through the pursuit of one thing at a very high level. But again, you relate these lessons learned to all the other facets in your life. So I would relate that to anybody else that's at the top tier of whatever they're doing in the world. Like, they're all in those positions for a reason, you know, and likely it's a part of their practices, their intent, their mentality, and also just the way in which they process things and ideas and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of golf. So we all three got to get together at some point and play some golf.
Dude, I'm always in. I'm always down for golf, man. Yeah. I love it. I'm not playing as much as I like to, but been busy. But, you know, it's funny because like, I feel like now last few years I've been pretty dialed. Like, I'm pretty consistently shooting in the 70s and I haven't even hit the range in like a solid year. It's just mostly just playing rounds, you know, but not very often.
Maybe bring your clubs out for weekend one practice and stay an extra day. Stay at my house
in San Diego.
Yeah, both of our
practices. Yeah, this time. Yeah, let's do it. Cool. Yeah, I'll bring him. Sweet.
Yeah, I haven't been in a while. It'll be fun.
Let's book it. Yeah, hell yeah.
Nice.
There you go. All right. Podcast just got better.
Golf session.
Got a tee time.
Got a tee time.
So the website for Technique is going to be dropping here very shortly.
I'm hoping within like 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, we saw another run of it today. Oddly enough, we happened to look at it again today. We were getting some images going and like the overall layout. There's a few things, a few little small tweaks and changes we need to make, but overall we're pretty much ready for it. And, our site guy's real good and it's pretty close to being dialed in. So once that happens, we'll be posting it on our socials and everything and people, perfect, you know, will be aware of it. But you know, in the meantime, our Instagram is kind of the best place to look at our examples of the work and kind of what we're, what we've been doing lately. And obviously we don't have everything up there, but we do, we keep putting stuff up there every week or so.
What does the future of anodizing or like the next frontier of anodizing look like? Are there new innovations that can be incorporated, or is it kind of something?
Well, yeah, I would say the most interesting new innovation, and it all depends though, because like, you know, the thing about anodizing is it's art, you know, like that's what it is. It's an artistic vision on your gun, on your marker. And so like, you know, why is one thing cool versus another thing? I mean, that's just the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? But like a lot of paintball culture is around old ideas, you know? And so like, to me personally, I like older looking anodes, like, you know, like acid wash, which, you know, for a while didn't really exist in the mid, like late aughts or even like the 2010s. And now those are coming back and like, you know, but it's just interesting. But as far as like new technique, one technique that I'm really fascinated with, over the last couple years, and it hasn't really been like perfected or like mass produced yet, but they're able to like print like a photograph on the side of a barrel, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but like, I've seen a barrel and like, I know Tyler from Aesthetic is trying to figure out how to do it. And he's got some examples, but like Caustic is literally put a photo of like the Last Supper on the side of a barrel. And like, to see that done, it like on an anodized surface is just like, holy moly, that's incredible. Like the detail, the coloring, right? And not to say that I think it would look cool to have that on the side of my gun, but potentially that's what's possible. And then from that, you know, opens a wide world of potential ideas that you can put on the paper, you know. But I also tend to like, you know, kind of older school ideas and looks personally. But
do you guys, for your limited drops that you do on the markers, do you guys do custom anodes on those, or those like stock colors?
Yeah, we do, not for all of them. We do for like a smaller amount of them, you know? So like on the guns that we did, so like, yeah, since August we did around, we're just shy of 600 markers, right? And most of those, I would probably say like,
bro, 600, holy smokes.
Yeah, it's a lot, dude. I know it really is. And again, like, it's interesting because like now the space that we're in is pretty competitive and a lot of other people are getting into this similar space. Uh-huh. But you know, I'm really proud of what Ryan and I have done. Like, dude, it's Ryan and myself, and we have one guy that's semi part-time, you know, and other than that, it's just us two. And we do a lot of, we've got a lot of great customers. We've got a lot of good ideas. We have Nick Laval, which I've talked about before. He helps us with a lot of our design work. So he's pretty heavily involved as well. And I don't want to understate that, but you know, we're definitely we're a small business, dude. Like, we are a small business. And so, you know, we take it very serious and we're very proud of what we've done so far. And we're looking to continue to push and you know, not just push ourselves, but push everybody in the sense of like, just kind of really raising the bar. And I think we've done a really good job of that too. Cause now I look at our competitors and other people in the space, and honestly, it's a great time for the consumer in paintball right now. Like, everything is getting pushed to the nth degree and a lot of companies are coming out with awesome products, you know? So, I just think in general, like as a consumer, it's a great time to be in the space.
Yeah. And you got a great team. Ryan and Nick are two of the best people in the game.
Absolutely, you know, dude. Right. And again, like two of the best people, you know, and like that, that goes a long way in everything you do. Like, being a good person is, it's going to help you out in everything you do.
Yeah.
Again, like, I mean, I could ask everybody that I know about Ryan or Nick and they're all going to say the exact same thing. You know, they're great people.
Archie, let's elaborate on that. It's a good segue, actually, because, you know, you and I talked on the phone earlier today, and maybe it was yesterday, actually, but and we kind of discussed that exact thing, and the people around you and the team dynasty and you know, like kind of the run that the team's been on and a little bit of the, you know, the magic, what that means. You know, you kind of alluded to that.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to kind of elaborate on how you think that could help your team.
Right. Well, I mean, dude, you know, like we'll talk about Dynasty first. So like when you talk about this team, this iteration of the team, and, you know, obviously the run we're on is insane. I can't imagine it would ever be done again, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I know the number by heart from when I've been here, which is seven tournaments in 10 events. Right.
We've won 10 of the last 15 majors.
10 of the last 15, right? And for me, it's been 7 in the last 10, right? And that's just insane. Like, especially in the modern game. The modern game is, there are no easy games. Everybody's putting in a lot of effort. And when you look at it, and don't get me wrong, we've won 7, like, since I've been here, 7 tournaments. And sure, a couple of those, we kind of blew out everybody. But in some of them, it was like, dude, we could have been knocked out many times, you know, and to still find those ways to win in those moments, you know, and like Las Vegas is a great example of that. We're down 3 against a really formidable team. You know, it just, how are we going to win that game? You know, and the reality is, the reason why Dynasty has been so formidable for the last several seasons is because of everything. Anybody involved with the team. Everybody involved with the team. That includes the support base of fans, the support base of the Champions Club, even the fans of Hormesis and the fans of Project and the fans of PTG and the fans of the Spick and Span Show. All these people that are being connected, uplifted, inspired by all the group of the team. Right. All the Dynasty. Our support staff is a part of this. Our management staff is a part of this. Every single individual player is a part of this. And that's not just the guys that are playing on the field in every single point. It's also the guys in there that are pushing those guys to be their best at all moments. Right. You know, so everything is the reason why Dynasty is so good right now, you know, and so consistent right now. It's everything. It's the team psyche. It's the team spirit. It's, you know, everybody being on the same page, everybody giving up something to play for this team, and everybody knows we're all giving up something to play for this team. You know, all those little details that at the end of the day matter. And for us, they're mattering in our favor, and they're mattering in our belief system and in the way in which we think that no matter what, until that buzzer hits 0, we have a chance, and we have a damn good chance, you know, and that's the way I see it. And it's really one of the greatest things I've ever been a part of in my entire life, for sure, is to just be in this unique, very special moment in time on this team, you know. And I really, like, it's crazy because I thought I was going to retire before I came to this team, you know, and now a few years later, I'm just like, holy moly, man. Like, you know, I couldn't even imagine what it would be like if I hadn't done this at this, you know, and not to say that my life wouldn't have been, it would have been great, you know, but like, I truly cherish this special moment in time, because to have all these things working so beautifully together as one thing, and not only that, but then to have results that honor all those things working together, you know, mm-hmm. Man, just insane. It's absolutely insane. And again, we're just like, we're lucky, you know, we're incredibly lucky. I know that. But at the same time, we create that luck, you know, by all these little things that we're sitting here talking about and really believing in and having faith and practicing and honoring each other, you know, like all those little details, man. And again, it's a lot of little details for this team. It's a lot of little details, mm-hmm. And they all add up a little bit, you know? But yes, in general, you know, as a human being outside of the team, you know, who you're around matters, dude. Who you look up to matters. What you're looking at on your phone matters. What you're eating matters. You know, all these things, the conversations you're having with your friends, like you two, or the conversation you're having with yourself, these things all really fucking matter. You know,
literally.
They fucking absolutely do, man.
Yeah.
And these are what's going to make you. And also on top of that, these are what you're going to, you know, should you decide to have kids, these are the things that you're going to leave on to your, mm-hmm. to your next of kin, you know, is all the, like all the little things that you didn't want to process and go through yourself, you're going to put them on, you're next, you know? And that's the truth. And like, it's a big responsibility, you know, to be your best, to put yourself around people that are going to push you, you know, and inspire you to do more, to be better, to be a better human, you know? And again, like to me, like I don't hang around people I'm not impressed with. Like, I'm just not going to do it because again, like I'm trying to be somebody, I want to be impressive. Like that's a fact, you know, not for anybody else, dude, for myself and for the people I'm around, the people I love and the people that I'm going to love that are not here yet, you know, but I'm trying to be impressive. And in order to do that, dude, you got to be around some impressive people, you know, and thankfully I am.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. The relationships, relativity, you know, the mm-hmm. way that you move in relativeness to everything around you and how you create that paradigm is going to shape your reality and the types of things you're able to accomplish. So it's right. of the utmost important to build those relationships in a particular way that's going to move you forward and keep it booming. And right. I do want to talk about the finals and through your eyes, because you guys went down 3. Walk mm-hmm. us through what that was like and how you processed that and then yeah. kind of walk us through the finals there.
Right. So, you know, I've had this interesting little idea in my head for a little while now. I'm being honest when I say this, but like I've been seeing the future. I've been really understanding the future well. And you know, this tournament was really no different than some of the others in that regard, you know, like, you know, we lost the first point. It was kind of a quick point. They shot us off the break. Okay, cool. And that was like I only got shot off the break in this tournament like once or twice. And that one was the first point in the finals, you know, I'm like, all right, cool. Got my number. Did they probably trying to do that, obviously. And the second point, we go down again. All right, cool. Whatever. Quick point, not a big deal. Third point, same thing, kind of. I think with the third point, I may or may not have kind of been in the point, but it was still over relatively quick. And I think Skinny, once we got the critical kill, Skinny hit it, and we had still had plenty of time. And you know, it's funny because like the next day, I remember in our Champs Club on Facebook, Steve, who's one of our pit managers, and you know, obviously he's one of the many reasons I was talking about a second ago on the success of the team is he's one of those reasons. But he said the quote of the tournament was in the finals when it went down 0-3. And actually, just so I don't butcher it, I'm just going to pull it up real quick.
Steve's such a good guy. He's a really good
Steve's the man.
Yeah.
And yeah. Honestly, this one is funny because I don't necessarily remember saying it, but I definitely know that I did say it the way he said I said it. let's see here. I'm almost there.
Saw Steve at the Vegas airport at like the baggage claim before the tournament uh-huh. started. I was like, okay. Steve, he's just great. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's the man. So yeah. He goes, quote of the tournament, after going down 0-3 to the Hurricanes, Archie walked off the field into the pit and said, "We have them right where we want them." And he goes, "No irony, no sarcasm, no joking, just a matter of fact, never a doubt. And the whole team knew it." And honestly, I'm being dead ass honest when I say this. I knew we were going to win. Even in that moment, I knew we were going to win. The only thing that I didn't know was the circumstances for how it was going to play out. But when it was 0-3, all that was going on in my head was that, well, I guess we have to come back from 3 down. I knew we were going to win. So I was like, oh, wow. So the story is going to be we came back from 3 down. Cool.
But I think
that's just how it had to be.
I think the reason that works is because everyone believed that.
Totally agree with you.
And we had talked about that. It's like mm-hmm. so weird. No one in the pit is, you know, like devastated at that point. You know, mm-hmm. And even Danny being the new guy, I feel like he knew we were going to come back. You know?
Yeah,
he's like
exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Like that's an insane level of power we're wielding right there. You know, to be in those moments and to be looking around, everybody's just like, yeah, sweet, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, got to win 3 points, whatever.
But the hypercritical athlete in me says, but shit, we shouldn't be in those situations. How can we be better? You know, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
Why are we,
I totally agree. And honestly, like that statement you're just saying reminds me of a photo from World Cup last year where we had won the tournament and Alex and Ryan are out there talking on the field about a shot or something and it was over already.
Right.
It's just it's like, over. We'd already won. It's over. And they're out there arguing like, walking about, the like, field.
Well, it was the first. To be fair, it was the first time either of them walked the field the whole weekend, probably. So
that's fair. So you know, but again, like those are those interesting kind of things, you know. And a lot of people, and don't get me wrong, like I don't necessarily stay to watch the finals all the time anymore, and I may or may not go walk the field after the tournament, but in all reality, like those little things are important. You know, and yeah, so Ty, so we got into that game and it was down 0-3. And again, it just didn't mean anything to me because I had already saw what was at least the end result, you know? And so we got a point and then we got another point. They punched us back. And then it was just like, you know, you're looking up at the clock and all you're thinking, or at least for me in my head, is like, there's way too much time for that for us, you know, like there's just, well, we still have enough time. So I guess this is just how it's going to be, you know? And I know Marcelo, I mean, once we got into overtime, I mean, there was only one thing on my mind and I said it a couple of times, but I said 10 minutes ago, this is exactly what we wanted. And honestly, once it was there, it was just like they don't stand a chance. There's no chance for them at all. Zero, you know? And I can't say what they were thinking on their end. I'm being honest with the thoughts I had, you know, and they had no chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And Mike Bianco, we had him on the show recently, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, really, really a bright hearted person and minded, right. Obviously. And he had a lot of fun breaking down exactly how he approached the finals. And they actually had quite a few players who were kind of injured too, which made that difficult, you know. And I think one of the guys, was it in the finals?
It was in overtime.
Hamstring in overtime, dude. And again, like that's some.
But he actually didn't tear his hamstring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he pull it or something, or he cramped up?
Yeah, but he pulled it. Yeah, but he did get it checked out. It's not torn, so he will be back for Texas, which is great news. Because Seawright, he was playing phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, all those guys. I mean, you know, the Hurricanes have been good. They've been playing great for a couple seasons now. You know, you know, obviously, you know, Mike's doing a good job over there too. And I do like hearing him break down the way he does things because I still look at what he's doing and like he's working with I don't think people would say that he has the most talented roster in the league. You're certainly not to be performing the way they're performing. You know, like on paper, you still look at another team that's a deep team, and you're like, well, those guys should probably win, but they're finding ways to they're playing within their framework and it's working quite well. And it's actually an opportunity for every team to learn from that, you know, really understanding your strengths, your weaknesses, and where you can capitalize and stuff like that, you know? But yeah, I mean, again, I don't know, Ty, like for me, you know, the belief system is at this point, for me, one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned, you know, just by having thoughts, you're creating a ripple in the physical space. Right. And the more you actually believe something, the stronger that ripple is, you know?
Yeah.
And I have learned this a lot more recently, and I've seen this play out more recently. And the most potent thing at the present moment for me to do is to have faith, you know, like to have faith without regard to any circumstances, to just have faith, you know.
And it takes a tremendous amount of work to build that faith as well. You have to be in practice all the time, but you have faith in a system because it seems as though, you know, Dynasty, the way that you guys play is very tactful, obviously very intelligent from top to bottom. And out on the field, before you let things get away, you have a really clear understanding of what's going on out there. Everyone, it's almost like for the first 30 to 45 seconds, the top priority of the organization is to build a crystal clear picture of what's happening in front of us. From there, from that system being built, then you can make really educated decisions and we can be even more tactful and even more scary to an opponent. Right.
Right.
So it's like, you have to believe in that system as well. And when you have that system in place and that belief in it and everybody's bought in, that's when really good things happen.
Right. And you know, it's interesting, Ty, cause I want to touch on this this thought a little bit more, because like what you're saying is 100% true. But also at the same time, like when I think about our team right now, you know, like I wouldn't say we're practicing a shitload. Definitely not like the old guard as individuals. Maybe like me personally, I could put a lot more effort into my personal game. You know, like I legitimately haven't practiced other than our team practices in like 2 years. You know, like yeah, when but I first,
it's the space in between your ears that's 100%, so potent.
It's exactly right. 100% true. But still, like, and also at the same time, we go to events and our team is very much, what's the right, distracted. You know, there's the Hormy tent. There's, you know, like Ryan, you know, all these guys, they've got so many things going on. You know, there's a lot of distractions on Dynasty. And, you know, we could be a tighter ship in the sense of like everybody putting in a little bit more, you know, but to some degree, like, by thinking that you need to control everything you possibly could control, mm-hmm. in some way, that's a lack of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, that's saying we need these things. We need to do as much as we can to have the result we need. And to me, and don't get me wrong, in certain circumstances, you should be doing the absolute most, you know, and certainly if you're trying to catch up, well, I mean, you know, you got to, there's just no getting around it. But at the present moment, you know, part of this belief system is that in the present moment, we've done enough. We've done more than enough. And any feeling of lack or any feeling of I need to control this one little thing a little bit more may or may not be detrimental to your team's success, you know, because by feeling the need to do something, you're essentially saying you can't do it without it. And your thoughts, like I said, how much you believe those thoughts ripples out and may or may not alter what happens, you know? And so for me personally, the ultimate faith, and don't get me wrong, it's not like you can just trick yourself into actually believing things. It's a lot harder than that, you know? And I don't mind sharing secrets like this because as long as it took me to get to this point, that's how long I've been practicing it. So even if I told you and you really want to believe as much as I do, good fucking luck.
we had kind of talked about that too before, Arch, but yeah, it's 100%. It's like, it's not that easy, you know, like we're fine sharing stuff on Play the Game. Cause it's one thing to hear it. And it's an entirely different thing to actually execute.
To hear it through your ears is one thing, but to hear it and actually understand or resonate or be like, that's not fucking crazy. That's a whole other game, you know?
Yeah, totally. So. I will say I haven't reached, you know, your and Ryan and Alex and Yosha's level of mastery in not needing to do. I'm still at the point where I need to do everything to try to have a good event, but that's just where I'm at. And it's what keeps me, you know, in a place mentally where, you know, when we are in those matches down 0-3, I know that that's part of what allows me to be confident, you know,
for sure. And I love that. And I've been there too. Like I'm just, for me at the present moment, like I'm just divided, you know, that's just the truth. Like paintball is not my, like, it isn't that for me anymore. And ultimately, like, what do I have to say about me being divided and still continuing to compete? Totally. Right. Well, like, you know what, if I'm still doing it, like I do believe that everything I'm doing is enough, is more than enough. And on top of that, you know, I'm not just believing in me. I'm believing in everything that everybody else is doing. And I trust that whatever it is they're doing, that's what's aligning them for our team's benefit, you know, to the best of the abilities. Because again, if you're doing too much of one thing and it's taken away from other things in your life, well, that may or may not line up well for our team either. And so that's what I'm saying is about, in the grand scheme of it all, like I'm not judging anybody's input and nobody's judging my input. And at the same time, we're still finding ways because of all the little things that are just adding up in a very meaningful and powerful way. You know,
I know this move. Hold on. This is an old Jedi mind trick where you trick your opponents into not doing anything.
Damn it, he's on to me.
I know this move. Nice try, dude.
Again, fucking pulling over Tyler.
Dude, the reality is it's sad and sometimes frustrating for me because, again, I know what I'm doing every day, and then we go to practice and like everyone's out playing me and RG's stunting and I'm happy for him, but I'm like, what the
yo,
fuck, dude?
Hey,
I'm,
no,
I'm
no,
like, I'm like, no. Like when you came back from Burning Man and literally just
dude, that was like, that event I was on you fire.
Like, you like are just stunting, you know. I'm like, dude, what in the hell? I played this layout almost 2 weekends now.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I knew I was gonna miss that weekend, and since before I'd even gone to that Burning Man trip, I was just like, dude, I'm gonna be coming off of this out of this desert fuming, just on fire, bro. And I believed it, and it's just what else is gonna happen?
Yeah.
You set the intention right there. Right. You said it.
Yeah. And again, that whole week was me prepping for the tournament. You know, you guys might have been on the football field. I was prepping that entire week. You know, I didn't sleep for the tournament. You know, like that was going on in my head. So it's funny, but different ways of doing things, I guess.
Absolutely. It's different levels of mastery. That's all it is. You know, and again, I do think as a athlete, you have to go through iterations. Like, you weren't always like this. You spent the time in the years of the hard nose, like, you know, just working on this diligently every weekend, you know, during the week, the mental reps, digital paintball, you downloaded yourself with all that. You filled up the bank. I do think careers evolve, you know, even in like Kobe talked about how his evolved and his type of training. It wasn't at the end, it wasn't about like how much he put in. It was about doing it the right way, most importantly, being ready come game time, both physically and mentally. And part of that was getting more rest than he did in the past. And, you know, so careers evolve, you know, they just simply do. So, it's way less than I used to as far as like being at an actual field. You know, there's a lot that goes into keeping my knee healthy and making sure that come event time, like I'm not thinking about that, you know, and the work looks a lot different than it did when I was younger. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also interesting for me because like coming onto this team, it's quite a stark difference than my role on X Factor. You know, Ryan and I both, you know, for those that don't know, like Ryan puts so much effort and thought into their team, into their system. And when I was on the team with Ryan, it was both of us. I mean, we were chatting multiple times a week for hours, you know, and we both put just a lot of effort and thought into the team. And that goes, you know, again, like you guys understand what it takes to be a top tier team. Like every stone is overturned multiple times to try to get some net positive result, you know, and sometimes it's exhausting and sometimes it's for not, you know, like people aren't even aware that some people, like, they can be your teammate and not have any clue that you put that level of thought and intent into the whole team, you know, and it's unfortunate, and it's, you know, sometimes it can be, you know, but it's serious work, you know, and to come here on this team and really, at this point, I'm not coming to this team to do that, you know? And so I've got to find my role on this team and what could I possibly do to help this team succeed the best way possible. Right. And knowing that I'm not orchestrating in any way, shape or form. Right. And so for me, like, I thought about this a lot during that off season before the first practice. And I got plenty of time to think about it. And I thought about it, and I thought to myself, show up as a good teammate, show up as a good player, try to help the younger core guys, the guys that are not consistently playing a lot, try my best to help them, help push them along if I possibly can, because I'm a new, fresh set of eyes for those guys, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I can take one of those guys that's not starting every event and get him to perform a little bit, well, guess what? Our team just got a lot better. And then the other one, which is not paintball related, is essentially expand on some of my ideas that I haven't expanded on enough and see where those can take me in a grander scheme of things, you know? And in general, I feel great about my time on this team so far on this little rip of it, you know. And it's been fun. It's been fulfilling. It's been awesome. Made some really great relationships, new ones, and strengthened older ones. Yeah, it's been fucking amazing.
Sure has, brother. It's been a damn pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, outside of the results, I would say the same thing, you know, like even if we hadn't won, I would still say that about our team. Cause like ultimately every weekend I go, it's when I'm not there, I'm like, man, I can't wait to see everybody, you know? And again, the results are just results. And don't get me wrong. That is sort of, a lot of people think the results are like, that's what we do this for. But, you know, I don't actually resonate that much with that, even though the results are great. But it's all the stuff that it takes to just get to that point that's really important. You know, are you enjoying yourself? Are you pushing yourself? Are you inspired? You know, are you having meaningful relationships, you know, meaningful thoughts, meaningful conversations? Are you a better person? You know, that's really why we do all these things. Are you doing hard things just for the sake of doing them because you understand there's lessons in that? You know, that I think that's why everybody plays paintball, essentially, to some degree, you know, a combination of all those things. And I'm sure for some people they're weighted differently than others, but for me, I feel like all those reasons are pretty evenly weighted for me personally. I think they're all very important. Yeah.
And it's safe to say you love paintball with all of your heart and you're, yes. You're consumed by it. You know, maybe you don't go and do, what you would think is the, you know, whatever that work looks like, but you are doing the mental work and you do care. You truly care enough to, you know, be consumed by it still and be in love with the game.
Right. And honestly, again, even though like, you know, you're still, like if I'm a battery, right, I could only give up so much to certain things. Right. And so even though I might not be at the field doing my whatever percent of my battery at the field doing drills, you know, I think that some of the other things that I do are adding to the overall picture in lieu of that, you know, and I really believe that. I really, honestly, very strongly believe that some of the other practices that I have and that I do, more so than the me snap shooting or whatever, add to the success of our team in little ways. Just like when Marcelo goes to the field and he's doing what he believes he needs to do to show up as his finest version. It's a very, very similar situation. That's how I feel about the things that I'm doing for this, for myself, that in the net result have some sort of a net benefit for our team, you know? And, you know, I might be naive, but that's what I believe. I really believe firmly in it. And,
just look at the game footage, man. Just watch him play. You know what I mean? It's no doubt you are one of the best paintball players in the world. And that's without a doubt, one of the most creative minds, one of the best shots. You know, you have a lot of attributes that call it a God-given gift. I don't know, but it's something that you create magic. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that you have to be open to. Once again, we're talking about staying open to the possibilities because you could very easily corner yourself in an idea or a way of thinking that could shut off those amazing moments. You know, if you do take it quote unquote too serious or get too locked into a particular idea. So you have to put your crown on, see what I got if you're on the YouTube and stay open. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate the words. I mean, you guys are absolutely some of the greatest ever too. So it means a lot. I mean, obviously like hanging out with you guys and doing all this is a big bonus. Yeah. It's been
a family.
Good. Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, Tyler, actually on the subject, I'd love to pick your brain on how you're feeling or how, you know, what, you know, obviously I don't think you guys are looking for more than your current, results, you know,
of course.
And that doesn't mean much about anything else. We're just talking about results and like, what do you think are the contributing factors? You know, like it's tough because like y'all, I mean, y'all are stacked. Y'all are funded well. Like that, you don't really have a reason to not be consistently a top four team. You know,
so recently we just went through a big change in the offseason. And Ryan Smith is a phenomenal coach. I'm really excited for us to continue with Ryan moving into the future because he has such a creative mind and he knows the guys really well. He's going to be able to keep us driven and hungry, which, you know, at the end of the day, paintball has to be at the forefront of our mind and we just got to stay hungry and driven and do everything, work hard and smart, you know, like we've been talking about, be open to new ideas and just keep enjoying the process of that. In Las Vegas, we lost to Aftermath by 1 point there.
Was it overtime or was it like in the regulation?
It was in regulation. Yeah. And
was it, there was, tell me about that game. Like, do you think you guys like lost it? Do you think they won it? Do you think
we definitely lost
some mistakes?
It.
Yeah.
We just, the player that really broke it open for them slipped into the snake and, was able to eliminate, I think it was two. And I think even got me, when I went to make my move into the 50 wedge. And there was only, I think there was 15 or 20 seconds left. And then they ran and had, I think like 5 seconds left and were able
to. So it was kind of a buzzer beater situation where you just probably guy slips in, makes the right kill. And
it was, it was not ideal, not ideal, but we just got to do, you know, all the little things like we talked about, we've been talking about it this whole entire show. And if we do all those little things and even like Archie, you're talking about the unorthodox ways that, you know, it's not always working hard and doing all of that. But if we can really do a deep dive and just start outsmarting people, like I said, Ryan is a magician. He's won World Cups with Houston Heat. He's won big tournaments with the team and he's very creative. And I loved that he used me as a one quite a bit. Like I was able to go and attack, you know, so I'm looking forward to that as well. And being able to really go. And I think the layouts for 2024 are going to be pretty heavy press. Like, I think we're going to see some quick paintball. They're going to design these layouts to where you can get to certain spots and slow it down, but there's only going to be, like we saw at Vegas, there was like that lay down mini W and the temple. That was it. If you didn't look snake way and see someone slip in there through that channel, you know, you're going to have some trouble.
You know, that's really interesting because I felt like, especially with this layout in particular, like I felt like at practice, it played like kind of some of the points were insanely fast, you know, like especially if you got like the right kill, it was just like fold, you know, real fast. And then, but then at the tournament, it kind of slowed down a lot, you know, like, and again, like you, what was the score in y'all's Aftermath game? Was it like 3-2?
3-2, yeah.
3-2. So like 5 points in a match, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that I would argue that that means all those points are probably pretty grinders and probably one or two of them were very long, you know, and it's interesting though, but at the same time, like potentially the field could play fast, but I kept looking at it at our, like when we were in Sacramento playing Impact and Infamous, like, you know, team, they're both playing it pretty fast, but I still felt like, even though this is how it's being played right now, I still felt like, man, I don't know. I think this layout's going to play kind of slow and it kind of did, you know, and again, that's one of those things like tournament paint always slows it down a little bit. Reffing always slows it down a little bit. And also the weight of the moment, you know, the weight of the moment tends to slow things down. And, you know, it's just interesting, but I could see how that field played fast. We saw plenty of it at our practice and there were some games that were like that, you know, and definitely like the Russians were definitely playing more points. I think what was it? I don't remember what our final score in the semis was, but I believe it was like over 10 points played.
Yeah, it was either 6-5 or 5-4.
Right. Was, so there were quite a, you know, that match definitely seemed like it played quicker or, you know, more points than a lot of the others. But yeah, I am very intrigued to see what kind of Trozen ends up throwing our way, you know, and at the very least, you know, he's trying to maybe not trick us, but you know, he's making us figure things out and making us be creative and making us find ways, which is, that's, you know, again, one of those things we kind of live for in this type of a sport, you know?
Yeah. I'm excited to see what we got going for Texas here. It's just a few weeks away before we're at that event.
Dude, I know, that's kind of crazy. I don't know why, for some reason I thought it was in May and I'm actually kind of bummed because I have like a conflicting thing I really wanted to do that weekend, but unfortunately it's just a big miss for me. Oh. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I just had my weekends off, so
yeah,
it was my own mistake.
Yeah, they got this one pretty tight up against the Vegas event, and
the one after.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. And then we have that big gap, right? It's that middle one that mm-hmm. yeah, that fourth event is the one where we end up we're our thumbs up our butt for most of the summer, I guess.
Some exciting news from PTG though. We are going to have our very first booth ever out at WCPPL next weekend. Yeah,
nice. All right, tight. Y'all are going to both be there?
Yes. Yep, we're going to be out there. We're going to be doing on the scene coverage of divisional paintball and telling all the stories of, you know, the WC and what they have going on. And then we'll have some exclusive, like we got a long sleeve tee and some cool stuff, some like trading cards, just fun little things for everybody who supports the podcast. And we're excited to be out there. We can't wait to see everybody.
Very cool. Are y'all, is that like a, I mean, obviously it's your first event. Are y'all planning on doing all the WCs?
Yeah, that's a plan.
Sick. Yep. Okay, cool. Yeah. I think Ryan and I are going to try to maybe do one this year. Hopefully.
Awesome. There we go.
Yeah. Cool. So we're going to definitely do World Cup again. We're going to try to do a WC this year, which I'm not necessarily sure if we're going to both go or whatever, but we're trying to find a way to make it happen regardless. Yeah. And maybe do another local event here in Texas, you know, because it is cool to put the FaceTime and like, you know, get a much deeper connection with people rather than just the internet, you know, and to shake people's hand, to take photos, to sign autographs. And like, you know, for somebody to come and like, you know, support your brand and you're there to, you know, kind of help with that process it's really cool. I know we did it a couple of times last year and it was quite meaningful.
Yeah.
USXBL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you should go to. It's Mike's now.
Right? Yeah, correct. So. Exactly. He had one this past weekend and we were trying to do it, but didn't work out this weekend, but you're definitely going to try to do one at some point this year.
Yeah. It was super successful too. They had a really good showing out there.
Oh yeah. Their events, it's crazy how many teams they have and how many they can knock out in a weekend. It really is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's crushing it. All right. Let's dive into, I know we got some Discord questions. The people are excited that you're in here. March, I don't know if you have one pulled up. I think I had one here.
Nope, I did not at the moment. Give me a second.
All right, we've got Osborne for this. Archie, now that one event is in the books, what is your opinion on the added snake beams?
You know, I feel like it's too hard to tell at the present moment. You know, like obviously they made a double snake on this layout. I'm curious to see what they decide to do for the next one. You know, the bunkers are their bunkers, man. I mean, ultimately, the teams, we're all playing with the same problems. We're playing with the same set of problems. You know, we're trying to find out ways to cover zones, ways to be aggressive, ways to hold points back if we're down bodies, and ways to flip the field. You know, for the most part, most of these problems are unique to this moment in time, but not unique to the overall amount of time we've been playing paintball. We've seen a lot of these problems before, and ultimately whoever figures out these problems the best, that's who ends up winning the tournaments, you know? And again, like these problems are part of the reason why this game is so fun, you know, like it's unique and interesting and how somebody's going to play it and how we're going to play it. Like that's what paintball is all about, you know? So like I welcome the challenges. I welcome these like, kind of the change in ideas on how a field should look like, whatever. And I'm just hoping that at the end of the year, when we look at all the events, you know, like even though I wish the Vegas layout had been different, I had fun. And I think people enjoyed themselves, you know, enough. And I hope that's how it's going to be after every weekend, after every NXL event, you know.
We just talked to Tom and he said he's got a new format for you to try out as well.
Is that right? Me specifically, huh?
Yeah, he did say for you specifically.
Yeah. What was it?
The circus monkey.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, that's so funny.
Well, that hit him in the heart. You could tell.
You know, I could tell. It's funny because I swore I'd said this to him before already. I mean, if not, he just hadn't been around because I've been saying this for a long time. But, you know, the pro, and don't get me wrong, I am a big fan of the league. I'm a big fan of everything Tom does and Jason, everybody that's there. I am, you know, and again, if we don't use our voices, you know, on things like we've all been around and we have good ideas and, you know, there's a reason we're where we're at, because we've also put a lot of thought and effort and time into this sport, you know? Yes. And so we don't want things to just change and negate a lot of the good things about the sport that we've been playing for 25 years, you know? Mm-hmm. So like this circus monkey, comment is quite funny, because the league will make changes without consulting with the pro teams. And that to me is kind of silly, in my opinion, you know? And so like, we were all talking about one of the changes. I don't even remember which one. It might've been the field layout situation. And I just said to Tom, I said it to everybody. I'm like, yeah, we're the circus monkeys. Like, they just tell us what to do and we do it, you know, and we don't have any regard for what we're supposed to do. And anyways, I know it hit home with him, because he kind of hit me up afterwards. He's like, hey, do you really feel that way? And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Like, you guys don't ask us our opinion. Y'all just make changes. And we're just kind of sitting here like, well, I guess we're going to do that. So yeah, it's just interesting, but
well, get your monkey clapper things. Yeah, ready.
I bet he'd really appreciate it. We got another one with those at the next event.
That'd be great.
I'll work on it.
All right. Yeah, you can get some of those.
All right. I got just one question here from Tad Parker, and he wants to know, Archie, Project seems to be a company that is run by active players, which I'm sure brings challenges as you focus on your role as a player and Ryan focuses on his role as a coach. How do you envision the next few years of Project with the growth you've seen recently? Do you see Project growing into a Hormesis-like level by not just being a paintball-focused brand, but also a lifestyle brand?
Okay. So, I mean, so at times and certainly like us playing and going to these events and contributing in a meaningful way on the field is, it definitely can be a distraction from the business, because like around event time, man, we're busy. Like, I'm gone on the weekends, Ryan's gone on the weekends. We've got a short week, and then we're gone again, and then we're gone again for the tournament, you know? So obviously we plan things accordingly and make sure that we've got those kind of windows of time to do what we need. But as far as like the direction of the brand going forward, you know, our brand was really intentfully thought out as far as like, what is our vision for this idea? And at least for the Project brand, and not to say that we may not brand other things, but for that brand, it really is not an all-encompassing lifestyle type of thing. It's really more of a niche equipment brand. And that lends itself to not really being around at every possible thing we could be, like Hormesis. And obviously, like, Hormesis is an amazing company. They're just set up a little bit differently than we are, you know? So that's not really the way we envisioned our company going. And don't get me wrong, like, we reserve the right to change that at any point in time, but that's just not where our thought process was when we envisioned the brand, you know? It's like, we have, and again, also, like, now we're doing anodizing. So that's its own unique thing that we have a different set of obligations to do for that to succeed. So, you know, maybe in the grand scheme of things, we'll be involved in a paintball brand that's a little more all encompassing in some way, shape, or form. But at least at the present moment, Project is likely to be in a very similar space as it always has been, in the sense of like really niche gear, drops every month or so, and you know, like really gear focused and not so much like lifestyle focused, if that makes sense. But that doesn't mean that we aren't doing other things to hopefully get in those types of spaces as well.
Yeah, because you guys do amazing media, and have, like, you're rocking a dope hat. You guys got, you know, shirts. You got all the stuff for people to, like Oliver was saying, wear the paintball uniform off the field as well, so that people can see us out in the streets living our life, and they're like, oh, he's rocking Project or PTG or HK or, you know, whatever it is. We got to have our uniforms on so that we can grow this sport as well. I love that little segment that we talked about with Ollie, and he's been doing that in a tremendous way with obviously Hormesis, you know, with all their branding.
Man, it's so interesting to see where he's at now. And like, I mean, you know, like, he's at this point, he's pretty far removed from his sabbatical, you know, like, I'm no longer going to be involved in paintball. And then it's almost like, yeah, he was gone for so long. And, you know, like, now he's just like over the top, big time, like really shining light in a very meaningful way in the paintball world. And he's brought him and Alex, obviously, and honestly, you know, just in general Dynasty too, but there's just so much like, now's the time, you know, like now's the time to be in this sport, you know, and it's really amazing. And so, yeah, the impact sans being removed from the sport for so long, he just came in and just trumped it big time, you know. Totally. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty freaking incredible, man.
Mm-hmm. He's him.
He's him. Exactly right, man. We all owe a lot to that guy. And again, and also, like, you know, actually, I didn't get to touch on this. I should have touched on this, and I know I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It just didn't come out when I said it earlier. But another reason why, you know, the dynasty magic success, whatever, is like, dude, could you just imagine growing up and being a teenager and being like, you just imagine 25 years ago, you're a teenager and you're at the paintball field and you're playing with Ryan Greenspan, Yosh, Oliver, Alex, and Crandall, you know, like those guys are all so meaningful to this sport, and they're all so uniquely individual too. Like they're yes. all just so complementary in a lot of different ways, but they're all uniquely their own, you know? And that's also a part of what evolved into this thing. And that's, you know, the hormesis thing, the field one thing, the dynasty thing, all the things that are just a part of this right now. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just an absolute, it's like the greatest story ever, you know, if you think about it. It's just such an amazing, interesting mixture of unique individuals coming and just at the right moment, at the right time, and then building something for so long, you know. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, each one of those guys just like monumental achievements and inspiration in just as unique individuals, you know. And then for them to all be kind of essentially they grew up playing together, it's mm-hmm. insane.
Yeah. Well, big ups to Northern California, because I was right there, you know, mm-hmm. when I was just a kid, like 11 years old, watching all of them. And like that was when like Cap Factory and all of these right. crazy legendary teams, Bob Long's Oakland Assassins. And there was a lot, it was a hotbed in NorCal, and then it transferred down into SoCal, you know, and they all kind of made the move down into there, but they've been on a mission and on a journey. And that's where you talk about that care, that passion right. for the game, and that true, utter love of paintball is what right. continues to drive it.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that like, you know, like I give, like you guys, I give them, those guys I was just speaking of, a lot of these guys that like, you know, I remove myself from this type of a conversation because like, I just don't resonate with it. Like the way I see you guys do, but like those guys, you guys, and like some of these other guys that are so involved with like being visionaries for where this sport is steered and directed going forward. Like, again, everybody after you guys owes all of you guys, you know, because without you guys, these things can fade out if it's not shared and carried and passed along, you know. And I'm not, I have the utmost respect for that, because like I wouldn't be where I'm at. I wouldn't have the thoughts I'm having. I wouldn't be in the moments I'm having and these memories that I've had without those things. And again, like even having those and understanding how important it is for the visionaries that are before me, for me, I'm just not, that's not the way in which I look at leaving a mark beyond my time here, you know. But I'm so incredibly thankful that other people are doing that, you know, and it really, those people can't be thanked enough.
Well, right back at you too. And yeah, brother. You're creating art as well that you're putting out into the world that will stand the test of time too. So like those pieces of art are a part of this fabric that tell stories as well and move the needle forward for the game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
yeah. fair. Yeah, brother. We're all giving it everything we got, I'll tell you that. And right. and we can't do it without this beautiful community. So thank you to everybody that continues to support all these projects, supports paintball, and literally supports Project, you know, and PTG and everything that we're all working so hard for, because we love this game. We love you all. We love this community. And, you know, it's up to all of us. It really is.
Oh, yeah, boys.
Yeah, I mean, we're all connected, man.
That's right.
Like, absolutely.
That's the truth, dude. I mean, the community, the paintball community, obviously the PTG community, like all this special thing that we're all doing. And again, we're all connected by it. it's powerful. Everybody knows how powerful it is. And it's a real pleasure.
It is, man. Yep. And I know we're all going to be getting ready for, Texas coming up. We got practice weekends that we're going to be rolling into. It's crazy. We're going to have a layout drop here in just a couple weeks. So we'll be right back into it.
Yeah, man, it did seem like it was just yesterday. I woke up in Vegas.
I know. Well,
yeah.
Right back into it, brother.
Yeah. Who are you guys practicing, Tyler?
I think we're going to be back out at Wasteland. Or actually, we might be going to X Factor to practice with X and Impact. I think that might be what we're doing. Okay.
And then we're practicing at the event.
Yep.
We're practicing heat.
There we go.
Yeah.
Dope.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. We never get to practice each other very often. So it's nice.
When we have. I don't know.
We used to practice heat all the time. And then once you went to the team, all of a sudden, no more
what
practice.
The heck?
Yeah. It was on you guys, bro.
What the? Well, we'll have to make it a more regular thing. We'll make it more regular.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Awesome, guys.
And then Arch, I know we're gonna close the show down, but I want to give you a moment to say, if you want to give any shout outs or shine any light anywhere, maybe boost the website that's gonna be dropping. We can drop the website. I'm sure it's just gonna be techniqueanodizing.com or something of that nature.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't really have much to like. I would honestly just really say thank you to everybody that's paying attention, listening, supporting, not just me, but anybody in the paintball space. This game has meant so much to me. And obviously if you're listening to this, you're probably resonating with that to some degree, the memories I've had, even just random off weekends when I was a little punk kid at the paintball field, just filled me up over time, and the lessons learned, they're just invaluable. And again, the more times you can kind of learn these lessons and translate them to other problems in your life and hopefully just make the most out of your human experience, that's what it's all about. And again, thanks for supporting in any way you do. And, appreciate the love. Obviously I love hanging out with you guys as much as I can. And, definitely very appreciative of the effort and the work you guys have put to put this kind of show on. It's really important. It's an honor, really.
Dude, you're PTG royalty, and shout out to all the knucklehead kids out there that are playing paintball.
Knuckleheads.
Let's go, knuckleheads.
I love it. Kid Arch, thank you, brother. Always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you soon. And we'll chat about setting up that tee time.
100%.
Awesome.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
Take care.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to ptgpaintball.com, click the orange Patreon link in the corner, and support the show. We greatly appreciate it. We have tiers as low as $1.99 a month. That is nothing, guys, and it'll give you access to the Discord, where you get access to the players chat and get to mingle with the entire PTG community. We have tons of different pros in there. Tyler and myself are very active, and it's an amazing way to support the show. We also have amazing other tiers. If you want to be one of the best, want to be a GOAT, sign up for the GOAT tier. It's the greatest way to support us. And each month we do a private live stream show, one-on-one kind of thing, to where it's just the GOATs and Tyler, myself. We'll bring in some special guests every now and then, but you get to ask us questions in real time, live on the air, and you get lots of inside juicy news that we don't share on the show. So as always, we will see you guys very soon.